there a while ago and pulling on my sleeves. I like to, for my Henley sleeves to come down, and they were too short this morning, and this thing's always fit real good, and I've realized you left it in the dryer too long. You ever do that kind of thing? And Pat informed me that, well, if you had a good woman around, that wouldn't happen. Yeah, I mean, you know, just that's like hooking you up to a car battery, you know, and you know. Anyway, and it's like, well, I guess I'll have more shrunk clothes if I, you know, is the word shrinking, you know. Anyway, but yeah, I pulled my sleeves up, and this is one of my really favorite Henleys, and I was just noticing, and they just kept, you know, creeping up and creeping up. I thought, boy, you left that in there way too long. And anyway, you know, I don't know, Pat. I don't know what to tell you.
I got
you one more. You know, the man won't be here next week. He'll be dead. Oh, I better get on this message because, yeah, somebody's going to get themselves hurt over there real bad. And John, and I have to tell everybody, really in line with this, we're going to John chapter 2, but and living with me would probably be no bonus. I like being more outdoorsy, you know. I always have been, and not many people care for that. And I will tell you, I've had more than one person, several, in my life say, Tony, I could like you, but I just can't like what you do. As far as, you know, I'm talking about ladies that saying, I would never want to be under the gun, under that microscope. And I understand, there is something to that. So, you know, I never want to be in that role. And it's like, I've done it so long, I just don't think about it. But there is something to it. And then I can guess I could be ornery and contrary. I mean, you know, this is my 24th year of being single. So I imagine I've established one or two things, patterns that I, you know, and over that time that probably be hard to break. You know, anyway, I have my favorite fork, my favorite knife, my favorite coffee cup nobody can use, you know, and it's mine. Somebody comes to the house, I hide those things so nobody use them. Anyway.
Hey, if you're woman shopping, you're not doing real good.
Yeah, woman shopping for me is probably, I'll just stay on. I'm going to be like a big old grizzly bear and just sort of hibernate and then get out when I'm hungry. So anyway, I don't know why we're talking. You started a mess here. Stop it. Yeah, anyway. John chapter 2, this is important. And this message, I spoke on this text in 2017, have not gone back to it since. So, and it's like, wow, that's a lot of years. And nowhere, nobody, no. This is not a text that you're going to hear often. But then again, the Lord leads to those kind of things, and there's interesting insights. This is a text that most major denominations would rather be left out of the Bible. This what we're about to read. This is out of the New Living Translation. I like, just this just flows real well in this translation. But the next day, and Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree, and he's just gathering his disciples, so you know the background. And he talks to Nathanael and brings him in as one of his disciples. And then the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. And the wine supply ran out during the festivities. This just makes people... Oh, I've seen some folks in the denomination I was in before just cringe over this. There's the wine supply ran out during the festivities, and so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. She could have said anything. Biscuits, gravy, anything. Bacon, sausage, you know, whatever. But they have no more wine. And he said, "Dear woman, that's not our problem." Jesus replied, he said, "My time is not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. And each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot of water. And Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And when the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies." And so the servants followed his instructions. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over and he said, "A host always serves the best wine first." He said, "And then when everyone has a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine." He brings out the cheap stuff. But you've kept the best until now, best to last. And this miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. You say, okay, that's great. What do we learn from? Oh, there's so much in here to learn, and there's some humor in this too. And so let me start this off with something. This particular passage here is a very controversial passage, and mainline denominations, and the one that I was in, it was their theology, their theological doctrinal stance, that Jesus turned this water into grape juice. Okay? And non-fermented, you know, that, and y'all, because I'm looking at y'all knowing that, but yeah, non-fermented grape juice. And I want you to know, this has been an ugly passage for people. And all it says here is just what it says. He told them to fill the water jars, and they did. And when they dipped out of them, it was wine. And the host here and all said, "Man, this stuff is the master of ceremonies." He said, "This is better than what we started with. Everybody serves good wine to start with, and everybody's had quite a bit to drink. They can serve the cheap stuff; they won't know the difference." That's basically what he's saying here. And anybody that's ever had little bit to drink would know, you know, what they're talking about. So the whole thing here is just first know that this is one that most people will not touch because it's controversial and because it involves wine, alcohol. And you can ask yourself the question, or you can, you know, this has been debated in seminary classes. It was when I was in seminary. You know, the first miracle Jesus performs, and he turns water into wine? Yep. Was he condoning drinking? No. He just turned water into wine. He didn't condone anything. He just turned the water into wine. And why did he do it? Because his mother asked him to. She told him to. And that was really the truth. And there's some really neat stuff in here for all of us and the application of it. And so, you know, the way that I just wanted to get this out of the way, there's two things out of the way first. Does it say anywhere in the Bible that it was grape juice? No, it does not. Does the word for wine mean wine? It does. That's all there is to it. Okay, so we'll take care of that issue. There's another issue before we even get into the main text here of this message. Do you know what it is? It's interesting that Jesus performed his first miracle at a wedding celebration where they were having fun. And one of the things Christians just don't seem to be able to associate with Jesus Christ, that there is also fun involved in being a Christian. And you go to churches, where you go, or you get around a group of Christians and they just can get so stoic that you feel like, you know, am I are they waiting for me to pass on? I mean, it's a funeral dirge. It's awful. We try to have fun here. You clap and have fun, but I've been in places, matter of fact, most every place I was in before here, if you clapped in church, you were suspect of having something wrong with you, or you're one of those kind of people. if somebody lifted their hands up to the Lord, oh, I've seen people just, you know, you're shaking your head over there, but we've seen people just freaking out. Oh, Lord, they're fixing to go dancing in the aisle. Or, I mean, I've had them say that. Tony, you can't allow that. Pat, well, you can't allow that. You're the pastor. You've got it. What am I supposed to do? Say, hey, you, holding your hands up, put them down. And it's like, I've been through all of that stuff. And no, is Christianity serious? Yes. Is it a matter of taking up your cross and denying yourself daily and following Jesus? Yes. But it starts off right here, the first miracle, what? Having fun. If you can't enjoy yourself as a Christian, you're religious, not Christian. That's the truth. The Pharisees were the most puckered up, soured bunch of people you've ever met in your life. They had no joy. They had no fun. They allowed nothing happy in their lives except what? What did they really enjoy? Putting down somebody else. Judging other people. That's what they did. And people bowing before them and respecting them. These are the big boys. And they loved that prestige. And Jesus said, that's all they're going to get. That's all the honor they'll ever have. They won't have any in heaven. Friends, learn to have some fun with your Christianity. And if you're hanging out too much with people who don't know how to fun, you might need to change gears somewhere. And get around some people that know how to laugh and enjoy. And I don't mean doing stupid things, but just these people were having fun. This is a wedding ceremony. By the way, a wedding in those Jewish days, a little bit of background on how they did it, it wasn't just, hey, we're going to meet up and have a wedding and everybody and go home. It was a week-long ceremony. So these people were having a good time eating and drinking for a solid week. So you had to really go out there and get a bunch of stuff to feed that many people for a solid week. They celebrate. Usually in a village, when someone got married, the entire village was invited. And it was considered an insult if you weren't invited. And most people came whether they're invited or not. So they all showed up because there's free food and free drink. So that's the background. And so, you know, and I just titled this, Small Needs, Big Miracles. Small Needs, Big Miracles, because in the span of life here in the course of things, where would you rate running out of wine as far as the major needs of life? It was rather pedunky. Is that an okay word to use today? That's what we used to use. On the scale of needs, this didn't even hit 1 to 10. It was below that. So you ran out of wine, drink water. You know, most of these people who have been a week at this, I don't think they're going to know whether they're drinking water or what they're drinking, you know. You know, it's the truth. I mean, that's what was going on here. And people just freak out when I've said these things in the past, you know, and years past, and I make mention and try to have fun with this message, and they wouldn't, oh, God, you know, this. And I've had them tell me after church, you know, this is no joking matter. You're making fun of people drinking. You're up there promoting drinking. No more than Jesus was. And he wasn't promoting it either. He was just there. So let's look at some things. Because I know you're probably wondering, okay, this is some neat background, and now we've got a little bit here. Does this apply to us? Yes, it does. Let's look at our first point. And you see, there's such depth in this passage. This is a fun text. They were having fun, but there's some real insights with it, and wanted to lighten up today and try to give you some insights that apply to your life that you can use and really grab hold of as an anchor and a handle and have some enjoy with it at the same time. So we don't have to be so deadly serious today, but fun serious, put it that way. So what's our first point? If it concerns you, it concerns Jesus. That's what you learn here. If it concerns you, it concerns Jesus. It's what happened. This is not something that's going to shake the world. This is not going to transform somebody's life. But there was a wedding, and Jesus and his disciples were invited, and Jesus' mama was there. You know? And that made the difference here. Mama was there. And they ran out of wine, and she came to Jesus and told him, and what did he say? He said, "Woman, running out of wine is not our problem." He told her that. That's not what I'm here for. I got invited to this thing, but not. I'm not going to worry. You know, if they didn't buy enough wine, that, you know, that's what he was saying is, hey, you know, this is not our problem. My time is not yet come. What did he mean? He said, it's not time for me to be revealed out here. There's things I need to do underneath before. That's why often, if you wonder, when he'd work a miracle after this for a while, he'd say, don't go tell everybody about this. He wasn't ready to be brought into Jerusalem yet. There was a time for that. He wanted to minister and do what God called him to do leading up to being taken into Jerusalem and crucified. So he was just going easy. So he said, my time is not yet come for this to start happening. But I'm going to tell you something, friends, and this is an enjoyable part of this. What people don't realize is that Mama was there. And you say, what does that mean? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, listen to his mother. And he said, my time has not yet come. What was he saying? Dear woman, mom, this is not our problem. She didn't even listen to him like most mamas are with their kids. She just turned around and she said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And I can't you see that mama's look at him? You know? Now you feel those in you, whatever he says, and that was saying, you're going to say what I'm telling you to say, and you feel those water. That mama was, you know what she did here? Mama took over. You do whatever he tells you to do. What she was really saying is, and you better tell him to do the right thing, son. You may be God's son, but I'm raising your little self. You're going to do what I tell you. This is good stuff. I mean, this is cute. This is a human story here, a godly a miracle, but a human thing. They ran out of wine, you know, and it because it concerned his mama, it concerned Jesus. You know, this little piddly nothing compared to what raising the dead and giving sight to the blind. So they ran out of wine. What have you run out of? And you see, that's where it becomes personal. They ran out of wine, and Jesus took care of it because it concerned them, it concerned him, it concerned his mama, it concerned him. You see, if it concerns you, it concerns Jesus, and we tend to rate these needs on some kind of scale in our head. Oh, my thing's not very important. Look at old so-and-so and whatever. If it concerns you, it concerns Jesus. And they ran out of wine. And just the question is, what have you run out of? Have you run out of feelings? Money? Have you just run out of energy? I wonder if anybody here has run out of trust. For God, for people, for anything anymore. Have you run out of friends? Have you run out of love? You see, this whole thing, we've run out of wine. That was their problem. What's yours? What's mine? If it concerns you and me, it concerns him. If he cared enough about running out of wine, perform his first miracle on this earth at a wedding concerning wine, turning water into wine, don't you think he cares about what concerns you? And so you say, what's my wine? What is it that I've run out of? What is it that I need Jesus to touch in my life and work a miracle and restore and fill back up again? Is your heart empty? You just lost your ability to just have empathy for people. There's just so much in this life that makes us so distant and cold. I was speaking to that earlier before we started this message. With all the things that have happened over the last year or more, and it's separated us, it's pulled us apart, it's caused so much distrust, mistrust. Nobody wants to be around anybody. Even families don't want, you know, so many families just can't even get together. and everybody afraid to breathe towards each other, touch each other. And it's like, this is not what God created. What has it done to us? And even before then, has enough happened in your life to where you just can't feel anymore? You just feel numb? You run out of friends? I've had people tell me lately that I don't have any friends. You know something I'm finding? It's hard to have friends. You know what's? I see something missing, and I know some of you probably do this, but I see a lot of people who don't get to. People don't get together like they used to. They don't go do things together. They don't go eat. They don't go do anything. It was bad before COVID. It's worse now. Friends don't just go out and say, let's cook something in the backyard, or let's go up and eat, and, you know, whatever. And let's, you know, this is whatever night down here at the, let's go do, eat that. Let's all be together. No. We found that it's just become so much easier to sit at home and do our thing, and the cost is terrible. We need friends. We need to do stuff with other people. People don't go shopping together like they used to. They don't go fishing together. They don't do anything. I mean, it's just like, we just kind of go home and sit and lock ourselves up. And you read the Word of God, and that is the exact opposite of what He wanted us to do. And there's people becoming quite lonely for friendship and lonely for love. Some of you in here today, probably really, in your heart, you're crying out, I want to be loved. God, I know You love me, but can You, through someone, bring love in my heart that will touch me and hold me and listen to me and sit beside me and watch a movie with me and just walk around the yard or whatever with me? You know, this running out of wine thing is a lot more than water and wine. It hits us at home and says, what have we run out of? And that we need Jesus to fill back up. And we need Jesus to transform. You see, they ran out of wine, and Jesus' mother believed that Jesus could fix it. And she believed He would fix it. And she didn't ask. Do you notice in this that she never asked Him to do this? She told Him. And she did it, though, with faith. She just said, we've run out of wine. She didn't say, take those jars and fill them with water. And she didn't tell Him what to do. She just said, we've run out of wine. And then she said, you, whatever He tells you to do, you do it. What did that mean? I've got faith in You, son. You're My son, and I know what You can do. I know who You are. Do you? Do Christians? I mean, do we have that kind of relationship with Him? She believed He could do it because she knew her son, and that's the catch for many of us, right? That's the catch for so many people. She knew what Jesus could do because she knew her son. And that's the catch to hold up for so many Christians. We know about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? Do we know what makes Him tick? He knows what makes us tick. Do we know what makes Him tick? She knew her son, and He'd never done a miracle yet. Think about this. She's not basing this on other miracles He's done. She just knew her son. She knew Him intimately. It's her son. But Jesus says we can know Him that way. He said, you open the door to Me and I'll come in and live with you and you'll live with Me. The same kind of relationship. We're His brothers and sisters. We're His family. And He's saying, I want you to know Me like My mother knew Me. To where you know I can fix it. And she just said, whatever He says, do it. She knew her son. And that's the catch for so many. They just don't really know Him. So many people talk about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus Christ here in their heart intimately. To know He can work miracles. Can't you just see the... And this is when you get into temperaments and stuff, and the cholerics and all those kind of people, and some of the melancholies. You know, the choleric, you choleric type, we'll have to go through temperaments someday, some again, some way or another, because they're fun to deal with, and while people have the personalities they do. But some of you hardcore, hard-charging clerics who just love to tell people where they messed up would have said here, well, why didn't they just plan better? Or why didn't they have somebody already on their way out to buy more wine? And that wasn't the whole point of this thing. For Jesus' mother, it didn't matter. They're out of wine. You see, sometimes you need to quit running and trying to fix it all yourself and ask why this, why that, and who didn't, and whatever happened, and just sit down and say, you know what? I'm not going to fix it because I can't, but Jesus can. Amen. And let him do it. She just went to Jesus. There was a need, and she went to Jesus. What's your need? Why don't you go to Jesus? And just Jesus alone. Quit relying on everybody else. You can get people to pray for you, but in the bottom line, well, you know, this is such a splendid living example of the way God wants us to live, and we miss it. It just seems like a simple story and one that's controversial because it turned water into wine, and God was using it to teach a story through His Son right here that if it's important to you, it's important to Jesus. If it concerns you, it concerns Jesus Christ. That means it concerns God. Even if it's turning, even if it's just running out of wine, we need to turn some water into wine here. You see, we're often too busy telling Jesus how to get the job done instead of just saying, Jesus, I need your help. Do it the way you want to do it. Follow her example. She didn't tell him to turn the water into wine. She said, Son, we're out of wine. You guys do whatever he says. What'd that mean? He'll fix it. How he does it's his affair. He'll fix you. How he does it's his business. The point is, you'll be fixed. How well? This last wine is better than the first. When Jesus fixes you, you'll be better than you were in the beginning. Don't ever forget. This is good stuff. I like it. This is one of those hard, pounding, deep, driving theological messages, but it's got a lot of common sense stuff in it. She went to Jesus first instead of trying to fix it herself. We just learned so many lessons here. I'm just going to say to you, you know, why don't you stop doubting and just believe? Would you stop trying to run around and figure a way who should have done what and why didn't this happen and all that happen? I've seen churches just turn again, eat themselves from the inside out, just destroy themselves. Everybody said, well, why didn't you do this? And we should have done that. But what good does it do after the fact to go tell somebody what they should have done? Married couples do this all the time. Well, honey, what you should have done was this. Well, it's a little late now. Right? Don't we do it all the time? Well, if you'd have been thinking, what you should have done, and you're standing there saying, you want this in your head? To tell me what I should have done when it's already broken, you know, that doesn't help very much. I had this happen to me the other day. And a family member, I was sharing with them and talking to them, and I was quickly told, well, what you should have done. And I was thinking, you know, I used to like you. You know, you get over it pretty quick. But it's like, you know, if somebody spills the milk, drops the coffee cup, and then to tell them what they should have done. You know what our calling in life really is? When somebody drops the coffee cup, spills the milk, you know what our job is? To be the first ones down there to clean it up. If we would just measure more on serving Christ than telling Him what to do, look how many miracles could be performed. Well, I need to move on. This is not a, you know, try to beat us to death message or anything. Let me give you this second point. You've got to ask in faith and you'll receive in faith. So ask in faith and receive in faith. All she said was, whatever He says to you, do it. And that's all. You ever decided to stop telling God how to do things and just say, whatever you want to do, just do it. But I know you'll do it. I'm having to learn this with some of my own issues, you know. Then I've got to be able to say to God, I've got a thing, I need you to fix it. How you fix it, it's your business. Because I end up telling him how I want it done. Don't you? Jesus, I'm out of wine. However you want to take care of it, it's your deal. I just know you'll take care of it. And that's where we need to stand. Whatever he says to you, do it. So Jesus said, fill the jars. They did it. Take some out, and they did it. By the way, do you realize the miracle would never have happened if they hadn't taken some out? Let me hit you with something here. Food for thought in this message. How are you ever going to experience a miracle of God? Experience his healing, whatever, until you take the step of faith to reach down and put into practice what you're supposed to do. Here's the point. They would never have known that that water was turned into wine until they reached down and took some out. And so many of you are standing there and your whole vessel is full of good spiritual wine and you never dip into it and take it out. So many times God has provided the answer and we don't see it. He didn't go fill the individual glasses. He didn't make it obvious. Somebody had to dip it out. And listen to this. When did the water become wine? Was it wine in the jar or wine when it was lifted out in faith? But we would never, and the answer there is, we don't know. But we do know this. Nobody would have known if somebody hadn't have dipped in faith and brought some out. Isn't it about time you dipped in to the wine of faith? The water of faith, whatever. You need to dip some out of what you've been praying for. In other words, ask, seek, knock, get on with it. Instead of just asking, put some action to your life and dip some out. And you'll find a miracle has occurred. And many times we're praying for miracles and God's saying, I've already done it. You need to take some out and see. We'll talk another day about the same kind of experience, but I'll tie it in here. You know, when Peter walked on water, it's the same thing. Peter would never have walked on water if he'd never gotten out of the boat. And so many times God can't get us out of the blasted boat. And we won't just dip in there in life and find out into God's reservoir in his spirit. Step out in faith and begin to proclaim God's healing, mighty, protecting, providing power. He didn't turn that water into wine because there was a great need, but because there was faith that he could do it. Just do what he says. Oh my goodness. What would happen today if we just did what he says? So I just titled this third point, Insights to Remember. What do you learn from this simple little happening here? First, listen, do what your mama says. Okay, that's one of them. If mama tells you to do something, you better do it. And all the mamas can say amen, right? They all like that. Okay. No, the big thing here is she knew her son, and if you really want to see some power in your life, you need to know Jesus. You need to know that even a little bump on your hand, if it concerns you, it concerns him. You know why? If you're going to keep looking at it and picking at it and scratching at it and worrying over it and put stuff on it, it's distracting you. Jesus wants to heal that too. He wants to turn that right there into a miracle. And little things. You ever had something like that? You ever get something right here on your nose? And it grows. I mean, you can have a little tiny bump right here, but you can just barely see it, your vision, and your... and it looks like... it's so small, nobody can see it, but to you, it looks like one of those chicken eggs hanging up there, doesn't it? You've had it happen, and you can see it in your... And you're going, oh, that's awful. And it's just driving you crazy. And you come to church, and you're hoping nobody sees it, but everybody sees it because you keep messing with it. How many things would people never notice if we didn't point at it? I don't want people to see that I've got this. And you know, it's like, well, quit pointing it out. And we won't notice it. Somebody asked me sometime, do you iron all your shirts to go to church? I said, no, nobody will notice. Another person said, the guys won't, but every woman in that place will. These are ironed, by the way, so you know. So let's give you some insights to remember, and then we'll close, okay? No need is ever too small or insignificant for God. This little happening has great insight. This will not set church doctrine, but it will set you to face tomorrow, because you know that no matter what it is, no need is too small or insignificant for God. No request is ever ignored by Christ. She came to him, and we've run out of wine. Basically what he was saying, big deal. That's how we talked today. Well, we'd be nice, but Mom, that's not a big deal. That's just big deal. They need just let them go buy some more. They run out of wine. And whatever he says, you do it. Of course, it's those looks in there and the things that, you know. But the whole point is this. Just listen. Do you see what came from this in Jesus' teaching? He said even a mustard seed of faith can move mountains, and here it began. His mama knew that her son can move mountains, and he can certainly fix this wine problem. Let me give you a third insight. Don't you ever underestimate the love of God for you. A lot of stuff in here, isn't there? Just one little text, and there's so much deep insight. Don't ever underestimate the love of God for you. You can hear this one coming, right? This next one. Man, we've got to learn that whatever Jesus says in His Word, just do it. Don't question it. Don't complicate it. Don't write a commentary on it. Just do it. And you'll see water turned into wine. Just for you. And I'll tell you something else. How many times have we seen our needs being met while we're still asking? If Jesus made wine for a wedding, Jesus will heal your body. He'll heal your soul. He'll heal your spirit. He'll heal your brokenness. He'll heal your loneliness. He'll heal your finances. Listen, if He will do this, He'll do all these other things and more. If He cares enough to make wine for a wedding, He cares that you have the money and not just to get by. God will prosper you if you just dip out of the miracle that He's performing. You hear me? Just do it. Just do it. Whatever He says in His Word, just do it. Quit questioning. Quit arguing. Just do it. Just present your request and believe that Jesus is here with you and will always be with you, and He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's working even right now, to work good, perform good, and bring good in and through your life. He who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In closing, you will not get until you ask. And you won't get wine until you fill the jars and dip into it. Now go dipping. Careful how you say that, Tony. Not this. Yeah, anyway. Come on, reach in there and we'll see what miracle Jesus is performing right here, right now for you. What a... It's just skipped over, and it's used sometimes, you know, at weddings and whatever. Oh, man, look at all the insights in one little thing. It just flows out like a river. And from now on, when you're out there and you're tempted to think, what does God care that my hair is falling out? He said every hair on your head is numbered. Not a little sparrow can fall to the ground without God knowing about it. God does care. And he cares at a wedding to turn. We ran out of wine. Big deal. It was a big deal to his mama. It was a big deal to him. If it's a big deal to you, it's a big deal to him. So whatever you need healed, whatever you need corrected, whatever you need fixed, whatever you worry about, you need money, you need something in your body fixed, you need friends, you need fellowship, need feelings again, whatever it is, you need love, come on. Just tell him, God, I have a need. You know what you're going to hear if you listen real close? I'm already meeting that need. Just dip in and take it out. Father, we thank you for your word and the power of it. The first miracle of Jesus. Wow. And there it all is for us. The love, the compassion, how much he cares for the little things that we think, why would God be interested in this? God's interested in everything. God, let that soak in. Let it hit us hard. Let it take us through the rest of the day and the days to come that God cares about everything. If it's important to us, it concerns God. And God has the answer for we can even ask. And help us in faith to know that you'll do it and dip in there and take it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's share the Lord's Supper together. There we go. Everybody got it? All right. We know that this is just a little cracker. That it's not what this is, it's what it represents. And it's what it is meant to cause us to always remember and never forget. We would not be here this day, and we could never be here, and we will never have eternal life until we really get it in our hearts. Jesus gave everything, and he gave his body in death so that we could live. So this is my body, he said, that was broken for you. Do this and remember me when you do it. The same thing with the wine. This has been a wine experience today, even though this is grape juice. I mention this every once in a while, but it's important. Because I am asked on occasion, well, why don't you use real wine? So you've heard this, but I say it every so often for someone who may not have heard this. The reason that we don't use real wine here, I choose not to, is for one reason only. I've had in the past, way back, the concern for someone who's had a problem with alcohol and they're just now back on, you know, out of that, and they've been to rehab or whatever. I don't want them to taste something and something we mean for good and it be for them something hurtful. So we just stay with the grape juice. And I don't have any other reason for doing it except I don't want to tempt anyone, and then we'll just stay with grape juice, and that's fine. So this is grape juice, but Jesus didn't turn this into this. Okay. But what it stands for, he said, when you do this, don't you ever forget that, you know, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And I gave my body, and now I shed my blood, and my blood cleanses you from all sin.